welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and take a look at a passage of Scripture from the Old Testament. This is an exhortation given to Joshua just as they were about to cross over and go into that promised land. The Lord says to Joshua, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Boy, there's a whole lot to unpack here. You know, you could just take this passage and have an 8-week series on it for all that's in here. And we'll touch on elements of it throughout this, 40-minute-ish message. But I just want you to know that there is a powerful command at the back end of this. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. That is a powerful command. Sometimes I'll bring it back to the commandment to love. You know, before Jesus went to the cross, he said, "Oh yeah, guys, got a new commandment for you. Love one another as I have loved you." And sometimes when I'm trying to decide, do I want to walk in love? Do I not want to walk in love? Do I want to forgive? I got to go back and remind myself, oh yeah, my Lord commanded me to love. Love is a commandment. And I got to sober myself up and say, that's right. I'm commanded to love. It's a good commandment to love one another. It's like, okay, I get that. Now it takes it out of the realms of my personal negotiation back into the Word of God as I'm meditating on it. Oh yeah, continually. That's why we got to meditate on it, go back to the book, go back to those promises to remind ourselves we're human. We forget. We need to know that. But he goes on to say, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged. That's quite a command, to not be afraid. Oh, to be afraid, to not be afraid. I'm commanded to not be afraid. And I'm also commanded to be courageous. This was an inflection point right now. Now, you think of all the stuff leading up to this moment, going into the promised land, and yet there was a point where they had to make those choices to be strong, to not be afraid, to be able to go in. And it's a powerful inflection point, I think, because it brings us all, we all experience similar inflection points like this. Sometimes there can be things that we've prepared our whole life for. Now it's time to do it. It's like, okay, here we go. Or maybe there could be some things that God has prepared you to say or prepare you to do, and you've done the preparation, and the preparation time is done. Now you got to do it. Now you got to step out and do something. There's a call to act, a call to respond to what God's put in your heart to do. And he's saying, do it. He's saying, be strong, don't be afraid. So this morning, I want to just talk about that inflection point, the inflection point they had and the inflection point that we have, and basically that decision to choose, about choosing to fear not. Because this is an inflection point that is going to be very directive in our life, whether we choose to be afraid or whether we choose to have courage and to go forward into what God has called us to do. You know, as human beings, we've got a choice. I can look back and things where I've chosen fear and things where I've chosen courage. But there's a choosing to fear not. It's a choice that we can make. And as we look at this, almost kind of climbing up this mountain, if you will, of choosing to fear not, there's two sides of this mountain I want to look at. That I want to look at as it relates to not being afraid. You know, we live in a world that a lot is going on right now, a lot to pray for. Certainly our nation, the things that we're engaged in internationally, the Middle East, all that stuff that's going on. Boy, you know, you pray for what you know, and then you know, you may pray in the Spirit. You just pray out ahead of what, you know, just God show me. You know, the Word says in Romans 8 that we don't always know how to pray as we ought to, but the Spirit helps our infirmities, helps our weaknesses. And sometimes I'll pray that, Holy Spirit, help me to pray better. Help me to pray more accurately. I'm going to pray what I know. I'm going to pray with my understanding, but then help me to pray better. Show me, lead me, guide me in praying in some of these things, you know? So you don't know what you don't know, but the Holy Spirit knows what you don't know. And so he can help you to pray. So as we're talking about some of these things, there's a lot of inflection points that we've got to decide. Things that are going on, am I going to be afraid or am I going to have courage? The first side of this mountain I want to climb up as far as choosing to fear not. I'm not going to fear. Is this side of it. The fact that it's a spiritual choice that you're making. When you're in this inflection point, am I going to be afraid or am I going to be courageous? I've been commanded to be courageous. I'm commanded to not be afraid. What am I going to do? We got to remember something. That choice, it's a spiritual choice. Now, as we look at a spiritual person, like you are as a child of God, and you look at a natural person, they're two different kind of people as it comes to making choices, decisions. The scripture puts it this way. We've received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who's from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. He's still judged, but he's rightly judged by no one. We're talking about a spiritual person versus the natural person. You'll notice that a spiritual person is working with spiritual things. He's comparing spiritual with spiritual. A natural person is working with natural things. He's comparing natural with natural. And so, if as a spiritual person, you're trying to make a spiritual decision and please the natural man all at the same time, it's going to be very frustrating because the things that you're comparing are foolishness to him. There are things that you're going to be looking at and considering as you make a decision about something. The natural man is like, well, if I say this, they'll do this. If I say this, they'll do this. It's natural. It's a natural chess match. The spiritual man isn't bogged down by a natural chess match. A spiritual man is comparing spiritual things with spiritual. A spiritual man can break out of all the what-if scenarios of the natural realm and have peace in God. It's a spiritual decision. That's why I affectionately refer to some of these psalms. I personalize them, the Psalm 1 guy. This is the Psalm 91 guy. But look, the Psalm 91 guy understands a spiritual decision. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We're really singing about this morning. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. That's a spiritual man making a spiritual choice. What happens to a person like that? God declares that person will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lies waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at his side, 1,000 may fall at his right hand, but he still likes his chances. It won't come near him. You're out of the realm of chances. You're out of the realm of natural. The natural man, that's tilt. But it starts with, this is not an arrogance, it's not a swag, it's nothing of himself. It starts with a choice. It starts with a spiritual decision. He's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. I just know one thing, I'm going to trust in him. I'm putting my trust in you, Lord. That's why I like some of the songs that we were singing. They're really kind of spiritual man reasoning songs. He's been faithful through generations of generation. You know, if he's going to give justice to the unjust judge, can't even you know, stand in the presence of somebody who's faithful, there's a spiritual case being made that I'm going to say of the Lord, He is my refuge. There's a spiritual decision. In other words, to fear not, it's not about me. You know, in the world, obviously, I'm not afraid because I'm so strong, because I'm so tough, because I'm all this and that. There's a something of self-persona that gives us the natural math and the natural calculations to not have to be afraid. We're not talking about that. We're talking about God's kind of fear not. This is not me tapping into all my natural resources of influence and wealth and all those different things and coming to a mathematical conclusion that, whew, I can handle that. I can handle them. Whew. No, that it's not natural reasoning. It's a spiritual. It's looking up and saying, no, I'll say to the Lord, He's my refuge, my fortress, my God. It's a powerful illustration where somebody is not living in fear of all those things simply because they made a spiritual decision. They're hiding into that secret place. Here's another Psalm 91 example of this exact same thing. That's the beginning of the chapter. This is right at the end of the chapter. It says, because He has set His love on me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Sounds kind of like that. The waters where you're not sinking. He's there on time, helping you out, helping you back up. I mean, why? Why does all this, and he's right there with you in trouble. What's the start of it? Because he set his love upon me. These are spiritual decisions. Again, if I'm bogged down in the math, if I say this, they'll do that. You know, it's just like in politics. You know, we can see the politics on the news, and we can see how everything is framed and how everything is very high production, high, you know, people with really good speaking ability can put things and use certain words, and it's like a lawyer, you know, going back and forth of ideologies and convincing. So you got to go, you're wading through all that stuff. Well, that doesn't just stuff happen politically. That stuff can also happen on a very personal level, too. And you all of a sudden, you're beginning to wonder how things are going to look and optics and all that kind of stuff. And pretty soon, you know, you got to come down to one conclusion. Ultimately, if you're going to fear not, it's got to be a spiritual decision. The ability to fear not cannot be based on something of me. It's got to be based on Him. It's got to be because my look, my gaze, my hope is set on Him. Because He has set His love on me. In other words, it could be like, I'll tell you one thing. There's a lot going on here, but I'm going to do one thing. I'm going to set my love on you, Jesus. I'm going to set my love on you. Whatever happens, it's going to happen with my love set on you. Whatever happens next is going to happen with my love set on you. I'm making it a spiritual decision. And God says, when you make that decision, I'm going to be with you in your trouble. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to honor you. The decision to fear not, it's going to be a decision that is something that is beyond your natural ability. I've heard it a lot of times put similar to a person who might be a pilot of an airplane. You know, you're flying and it is dark. It is clouds. It is a mess. And you can't tell really what's up and down because you're in clouds. And, of course, we can feel that way emotionally, mentally, situations, things that are going on. But the thing that pilot has that helps him is his instrument panel. It helps him to know when to fly straight. So even though he can't tell whether he's up or down, he can look at that instrument panel and see his horizon line and then steer the plane so it's right in line with that horizon line. Then he'll know he's flying, you know, parallel with the earth again, you know, that he's flying safely. But he's got to put his trust in that instrument panel, because when you're in the clouds, your feelings get all messed up. And you could feel like you're flying perfectly straight, totally feel it. But you look at the instrument panel and says, oh, no, I'm off. And you got to make that adjustment. And I've never done this, but I've just heard pilots, sometimes it's almost like you got to shut your eyes or, you know, just shake your head a little bit to get that sense of bearing, because the equilibrium in your brain, your mind, that little bubble that floats around in your head that tells you what's up can get messed up. And so you have to realize that, okay, I feel like this is straight, but it's not straight. I got to make that adjustment. I got to come in line with that horizon line. This has nothing to do with how I feel. This just has to do with what that instrument panel is saying right now. Now, for him, it's an instrument panel decision that he's got to make. For us, the Word of God is our instrument panel. The Word of God is what shows us what's up and what's down. Regardless of how we feel about it, we've got an instrument panel that we trust, that we fly. That's why we meditate in that Word. And we observe to do. We become aware of what does the Word of God say? Because if I'm going to not be afraid, it's going to require a spiritual decision. I can't emotionally talk myself out of not being afraid. I got to have a basis because the Word of God says something. Now, again, we're just kind of talking a little bit about spiritual decisions and fearing not and just realizing, hey, it's going to be a spiritual. This isn't about even, let me put it this way. You got this guy, he's in trouble. You don't even know why he's in trouble. You know, he's going to call upon me. I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honor him. There may be some things that were done to him. There may be some things that he did. We don't know. We just know one thing. He set his love upon him. You know, when you come before the throne of grace, there's two things you receive. Mercy and grace to help. We have a faithful high priest. Mercy is for the stuff we need forgiveness for. The grace to help is the stuff that we need grace to help as we're dealing with other things and situations in life. We need both. We need mercy. We need grace to help. Either way, he's with us. He's with us, standing with us. And so, as we're looking at this, let's just take a quick look at an instrument panel right here as it relates to fear not. Colossians 3, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Now, I'm just kind of juxtaposing this next to another spiritual truth. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. Can there be a connection between love, walking in love, forgiveness, and the torment of fear? Absolutely there is. Absolutely. Sometimes we don't always see that relationship between fear and love as it relates to loving one another. When we don't love one another, when we choose to stay bitter, when we choose to stay hurtful and resentful, it just opens us up to a whole nother realm. You know, I remember just praying one time, I felt like I was in that realm. It's just like, sometimes you're in that realm and it's like you're getting these angry, hateful, accusative voices and it's like, God, I just want them to stop. And yeah, there's spiritual attacks and things that you resist, but there's another way that that can happen too. You know, and I remember praying that one night and getting the answer the next morning. And the next morning, the Lord just answered that prayer and he just said, Ed, when you sow to the Spirit, you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. When you sow to the flesh, you have ears to hear what the flesh is saying. If you don't like what you're hearing, then change what you're sowing. To help get those voices to stop. There's a connection here, and this is the one that needs to be dealt with sometimes on a Sunday morning in church. Forgiveness and love can be connected with why we're afraid. When we allow bitterness to stay in our heart, it does create that. Let me put it this way. The scripture, it says forgive, love, and then it says let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart. You can't let bitterness and peace rule in your heart at the same time. One's going to push the other one out. And at some point, that decision to not fear is going to be connected to a decision to forgive. It's going to be connected to grace. Because you realize, pretty strong statement, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love, or has not, would be matured in love. The more mature you are in love, the less you're tormented by fear. The less mature you are in love, the more you're tormented by fear. Seeing that connection, it's important to do that, especially as we're talking about fear not. It is a spiritual decision. We do have an instrument panel as we're flying. And I'll tell on me, there is an instrument panel of love that it's like one of my first gauges that I will look at. Because if there is, and I'm not saying that you got to fix all your relationship issues. That's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is simply saying and acknowledging whatever has been done wrong, I forgive. You know, it's an important distinction to make too. It's not like, oh, that's okay. No, it's not okay. If somebody says or does something wrong, that's not okay. It's important to say, this is wrong. It was said, it was wrong. But Father, even as you forgive me, I forgive this. I forgive even as you've forgiven me. I choose to forgive anyone who offends me. The Lord, you forgave me, so I must forgive others. That's a big instrument panel adjustment as it relates to getting free from the torment of fear. Just knowing, God, I've forgiven them. In the name of Jesus, I have forgiven them. You're going to have to show me what's next, but I forgive them in Jesus' name. So we're talking about choosing to fear not. We got to realize these are going to be spiritual decisions. These are not, if I do this, then they're going to do this. If you find yourself playing that game in the natural, that's not a spiritual decision. The spiritual decision says, it is written. The word of God says, Lord, I'm putting my trust in you. I'm putting my trust in you. Is it going to be bumpy along the way? Yeah, there will be bumps along the way. Love suffers long and is kind. There is a suffering. There is a bumpiness. Jesus put it this way. I think you see both thoughts together. I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration, but be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace and confidence. He goes on to say, my peace I leave with you. There's peace, and there's going to be tribulation in the world. But there's peace in the tribulation. There's a promise. I mean, you think about that Psalm 91 guy. 1,000 falls at his side, 10,000 at his right hand. Still a close call. He's abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. He's saying that, but in the natural, there's some close calls going on around him. He's human. You would still experience that tribulation. You know, even sometimes when you're on an airplane and you're flying, the pilot might say, well, just want you folks to know the next 10, 15 minutes, we're going to experience a little turbulence here. And you appreciate the heads up, because when that turbulence comes, even though you get the heads up, and you're flying 30,000 feet, and all of a sudden the plane starts doing this a little bit. That's unsettling, you know? And then you remember, little bell, oh yeah, he said there was going to be some turbulence. That's good, you know? It's knowing that ahead of time. And Jesus says, you know, there's going to be some turbulence here, you know, but take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted. Be courageous. There's going to be some tribulation, but you can still choose that in the middle of that, I'm holding on to that choice. I'm holding on. And that's where it is important to understand those promises of God. Yeah. Man, I got a basis. I got a reason for not being afraid. Praise God. Not only can I do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but I can forgive all things through the love of God that's been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Yeah. I'm not doing this on my own. I'm doing it according to the promises of His word, His grace. So there's a spiritual basis. And this is why it's important, too, to get in and, like that first scripture said, study these instructions. You know, nowadays we've got some great promise books and different things like that that can get you started in a direction, that you get you a kind of a category of scriptures that can relate to certain issues. I'm thankful for those, because they can get you in the Word, get you going in the direction, and then the Holy Spirit can take over and begin to lead and guide you even more perfectly for your situation. But in any case, it's important to find out the Word of God on some of these different areas that we've got. I'm making a spiritual decision here. So that decision, as far as choosing to fear not, we realize first and foremost, it's a spiritual decision. It's based on something bigger than me. Then finally, it's not just a spiritual choice, but it's also a personal choice. And this is where I really want to bring it down to us right here and right now. And I'm just believing God's going to speak here. This is kind of the part of the message I'm looking forward to getting to, because I just feel like this is where we're going to see some things and where God's going to speak to your heart. It's a personal choice. A lot of that, I mean, I'm thankful for a good, for my experiences and my history with a good word based churches and understanding the promises of God and my authority and who I am in Christ and all that. That's great. But you know, it's not your theology that's going to make you free. There's a lot of things you can do with good theology. You know, you can get proud of good theology. The scripture says, man, you could have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Think about that. But without love, nothing. And sometimes we can get so caught up in theological battles and fighting one another theologically and proving we're right and they're wrong, and all of a sudden the cause becomes I'm talking about a personal walk with God. I'm talking about you and your stuff right now, choosing to fear not. There is a place where that theology, the Pinocchio of your theology, needs to become a real boy. And your theology becomes a real boy, as it were, if you know the story of Pinocchio, the wooden puppet who becomes a real boy at the end of the movie. Your theology has to become alive. You learn it, you know. What we're talking about up here is learning stuff, learning. But here there's a decision. There's personal choice. And this is where things begin to change. This is where things begin to happen. This is where you begin to get experience. You step out and put your heart on the line. You've not received, this is the Apostle Paul talking to the Romans, he says, you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. For his spirit joins with our spirit, capital S, little s. His spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. There's a communication link between the Holy Spirit and your spirit. And there's a message of affirmation, where the Holy Spirit affirms with our spirit that we are God's children. Sometimes when you talk about the assurance of salvation and you try to explain that, you can kind of get some theological stuff in terms of trying to explain, well, the Holy Spirit affirms. There's an inward knowing, but that knowing, that peace, that sense that you're his, there's a supernatural action there between God's spirit and your spirit. There's an affirming of his spirit to your spirit that says, child of God, Abba, Father. It's sweet. It's an intimate thing. It's a one-on-one thing. And this is where, when you're beginning to choose to fear not, it's okay. I'm a Christian. I believe this. I believe the word of God. I believe the authority of God. I believe the promises of God. I believe. Okay, that's good. But now it's going to come down to your stuff in real life. And it's fun to get excited about theology and the word of God and the promises of God and experience. Not only does the Spirit bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God, but when you speak the word of God, that same Holy Spirit will bear witness that the word of God is true. That's why you get an amen in your spirit when you hear the word of God. The word of God inspired, the Spirit of God inspired the word of God. So the Spirit is there to witness the truth. If I say, you know, let's take a look at another one more scriptural line. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, cowardice, craving, cringing, fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power, love, and a calm and well-balanced mind, and discipline and self-control. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Now this is another passage in Corinthians. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. You see that there's just where the presence of the Spirit of God, there just is liberty. There is freedom. Now, as we're looking at this scripture, God hasn't given us a spirit of timidity, but power, love, calm, well-balanced mind. The Spirit in me says, yes, amen, that's right. That's what I'm holding on to. That's what I'm clinging to right now in the name of Jesus. I could be afraid, but I'm holding on to that scripture. And the same spirit that bears witness that I'm a child of God that affirms that also affirms that that's true. I still don't know how it's going to work out in the natural. I'm making a spiritual decision that it's true. And when I make that spiritual decision that it's true, and I mean, this is where it's going to seem maybe unnatural, but that's where you're going to decide. This is what I believe. In the face of how I feel, in the face of my natural reasoning, I'm going to say, nope, Father, you are with me. You didn't give me a spirit of timidity. You didn't give me a spirit of fear. You're living on the inside of me, and I am choosing to not be afraid. Now, a lot of times, when we get to this point in the sermon, we can almost kind of feel like it's a spiritual Star Wars. The enemy's got his big, ugly fear thing, and I got my, you know, my pushing back with the Spirit of God and the lightsaber, and that's very much Ephesians 6, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. There is that spiritual battle going on. But I'm just saying this as a believer, and just saying it on me. As I've looked at this battle, sometimes I've over-allegorized this and come full circle back to a place of feelings and emotional vulnerability. I'm feeling this way. It must be the big black darkness, and my little light is so little, and I, you know, all of a sudden I'm feeling, and I'm... These things are true. The Word of God is true. I can declare that word. I can swing that sword of the Spirit. But I'm not checking for a feeling after I do it. It's just the decision. It's just the decision. I don't need immediate gratification emotionally when I've made the decision. There may be some turbulence, and that's okay. I'm going with peace in what the Word of God has said. This is where we sometimes talk ourselves out of even the ability to choose to fear not. We can feel emotionally overwhelmed where we think, I just don't even have a choice in the matter. You do. Have you ever done, you know, put this on the other side. You can do spontaneous dumb things. Have you noticed that? Some shiny thing comes along and you do something dumb. It's like, wow. Why? Impulsive, dumb. And all of a sudden, you're down a whole other trajectory of just some dumb little subtle decision. And it didn't require any big, you know, as a human being, you got free will. You got the ability to choose stuff. You can just choose to do the right thing without some big dramatic thing. Just because it's true. Just because it's the Word of God. You can just choose to do the right thing. You can just choose to believe it just because it's God's Word. I'm grateful for all the spiritual allegory that we have in the Word that helps me understand the knowledge. That's part of what we were talking about in the very first scripture. The spiritual man, he has those things to spiritually compare and understand. I've got the ability. I can overcome. I can do all that stuff. But don't get sucked back into some emotional frenzy and some spiritual sci-fi thing where you're trying to feel where you're at. You don't have to. You can look at the instrument panel of God's Word. I'm just saying we can get sucked back into some spiritual clouds and we're trying to find the horizon line. We're trying to feel the horizon line. I'm not. The Word of God is true. God, if I have to forgive, I want to forgive. If I need to make some adjustments, I want to make some adjustments. Lord, it's hard. I'm struggling with some things right now. Spirit of God, I need your help. I need your strength. I'm here. I'm at the throne of grace. I need mercy for my stuff, and I need just grace to help in my time of need. I need help. You're coming before that. I mean, I've been at that, you know, just recently. I was just really disturbed in my spirit, and I just, you know, wanted to go for a walk, and all of a sudden, as soon as I started to walk, it just was raining. Being a downpour rain, right? And I'm just walking. You know how that is. Sometimes you just want to get out and just have your own space with God and talk and pray. And yeah, just starts the downpour. I'm just like a block, not even. But I just right down the road, there was a tree. And I was able to stand under it, literally. There was like a little dry patch. And I was amazed. I could just stand under this tree. And it's raining. And that Psalm 91 scripture just came to my mind. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's raining, it's wet, and it's dark, and I'm disturbed in my spirit, and I'm experiencing turbulence, and I'm feeling nothing. When you're experiencing turbulence, if you in the natural, you're on that airplane and you're going like this, there is nothing happy about that moment in that. It's just like, yeah. And so when you're experiencing that in your spirit, you're not going based on anything of feeling. At that point, you're just going by, what does the Word of God say? God, you love me. God, you're for me. And just going before that throne of grace and to begin to just talk things out of your heart. Here's the cool thing that happens. I'm just talking right now kind of about working through that when you're kind of going through something. You begin to talk and you go to that throne of grace and you just begin to pray what you know. Just pray out of your understanding. Pray what you know. Pray. The beautiful thing is when you get to that place, you're not just there to pray. You're there to listen. You're there with an expectation to hear from God. And there is something about, even a preacher on a Sunday morning reminding us that we need to forgive. That's important. That's preaching the word. But there is something about when you're under that tree and the Spirit of God says, forgive, let that go. It's okay. There is a working through some things that go on between you and God. And it's a decision that you make. Here's the scripture I wanted to get you. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we may say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. So I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? That really comes full circle back to what the Lord told Joshua. I will be with you wherever you go. This is New Testament Hebrews. I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. You can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I'm not going to be afraid. There's a decision as you're working through, as I'm under that tree, as I'm saying, okay, Father God, just show me. And here's the cool thing. As I was beginning to just talk things out of my heart, he gave me some things. He gave me some instructions. He gave me some things to do next. And all of a sudden, all the things that's going on in my heart and mind, it's not the center thing anymore. It's what he shows me to do next. There's a spiritual decision then that's made based on spiritual things that God gives you in your heart. God will change the subject from the demonic drama to spiritual truth, grace, mercy. But he will never leave you. He'll never abandon you. But the thing that secures you is that he is with you. When I'm under that tree, yes, there's spiritual instructions. Yes, it's doing the next right thing. But there's a thing that was greater than all that. He's with you. We were singing that song, newer song this morning about, man, when I didn't love myself, you still loved me. There's different things that are going on where God is just with you. And you're remembering God. You're remembering what he's shown you. It's like, man, yeah, Lord, you love me. You're with me. You're comparing spiritual with spiritual. And you're saying, God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to choose you. I like to relate a story when I was when I was a little kid. I was 10 years old in Little League. And I remember my problems was I was always afraid of the ball. I was a great fielder. In fact, that's why I was made the team, because my older brother taught me how to field really well. I could catch anything. But I hated to bat. I was afraid of getting beaned all the time. It was like, I just wish I didn't have to bat. And, you know, and Little League is 10, 11, 12, and I'm a 10-year-old. I'm a new little guy, and all these big 11 and 12-year-olds pitching, and it's pretty scary. And I just remember thinking, if I could just. So anyway, it was like toward the end of the year, and big 12-year-old is on the mound, and he's the fastest pitcher in the entire league. This is pretty sad, but I'm on deck and I'm hoping the guy does it. I hope he gets strikes out. I hope he gets out, because if he's out, then the game's over. But you know, fear has torment, doesn't it? Fear causes you to think things that aren't good. That it could even be destructive to your own team, but whew. And I just remember thinking, okay, come on. And sure enough, you get some little dribble hit that sneaks through, and it's like, oh, got a base hit. So now I got a bat, you know? And this guy, he's a 12-year-old, I mean, a big dude, big, strong dude. And he's whizzing the ball. I mean, it was probably about the second or the third pitch. So he's whizzing it. I believe it's about the third pitch. I'm a lefty, so I'm you know, up to the plate. And that ball just takes out my right shin, the third pitch. And literally just took out my feet from under me, and I just fell. And I'm in such pain. In fact, it actually bled under the skin where it hit, and I still have a little pigmentation to this day. Strange. But I'll tell you what, there's a spiritual mark and truth to this story that has everything to do with this message this morning. Because my first thought was, when I'm in pain, is I thought, I knew it. I just knew that was going to happen. And it was just, I remember being so frustrated, nursing my wound, and then it was like the next year, you know, and that was like the end of my 10-year-old year and going into my 11-year-old second year of Little League. And I just remember just coming up to that inflection point. I'm going to have to bat again. And here's the thing. I didn't know a lot. I didn't really know Scripture, the Word of God, you know, in any significant way. But I just remember being so frustrated with the torment. I made a decision. I made a decision and I got a revelation. And I made a decision. I made a decision that I'm not going to be afraid this year. I decided I'm not going to be afraid of the ball this year. What I got was a revelation that I have the bat. I'm not just up there to dodge balls as they're being pitched at me. I got a bat. And I got a bat to swing. I thought, that ball has more reason to be afraid of me than I have to be afraid of it. I decided I'm not going to be afraid of the ball this year. I decided that I'm up there. I'm not up there to try to not get beaned, but I'm up there to hit that ball. It was a whole different paradigm. My purpose for being at the plate changed. And when that adjustment happened, there was no fear. I literally remember stepping up to the plate feeling like, I'm the aggressor here. I am just so excited to hit you. And it was a decision. It wasn't dramatic. It wasn't like, oh, it's just true. I do have the bat. It was like something clicked. I batted over 500 that year. It was the best year of batting in my life. My following year is really good too. But it was, and it's like, wow, House, what happened to you? Well, practice in the off season? Nope. I just made a decision. I decided to fear not. I chose that. I realized I've got a bat. I realize in so much when it comes down to these decisions. Man, you got the bat, you got the sword, you got the authority. You're the new creation in Christ Jesus. You're the one with the greater one living on the inside of you. You're the one with the exceedingly great and precious promises that through them you can, that pertain to everything that pertains to life and godliness is wrapped up in those promises. You can go to the plate with great theology and a great bat and all that stuff, but there's something in there. There's a personal choice on a spiritual decision that only you can make. Mom and dad couldn't get you saved. They could train you in the way you should go, but at some point, you had to declare with your mouth, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and I declare you as Lord of my life. Spiritual life is like that. We learn the spiritual side of things, but there's going to be a personal choice that comes that's going to make all the difference in the world. And a lot of these things, I mean, sometimes people use the phrase, you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. That's kind of what happened to me with the batting thing. But I've had that happen to other things. When you get sick and tired of the torment of fear, and you've tried all the other little things, hey, maybe I just swing the bat. Maybe I'm not feeling for some. Maybe it is written is what I need. Maybe it is enough to say, it is written. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm not one of those people who can't forgive. I've been born again into a new creation who can forgive. I'm not feeling it. I'm declaring it. I'm standing on it. I'm swinging the bat. I forgive in Jesus' name. I'm not trying to not be overtaken by bitterness and get beamed by bitterness again. I'm forgiving in Jesus' name. I'm resisting fear in Jesus' name. I'm stepping up to the plate and making a decision as it relates to my life and my stuff. Because I'm telling you what, this is stuff, it's exciting to be born again, to have the Spirit of God bearing witness that it's true on a Sunday morning. But it ultimately comes down to, especially as we leave here, to personal choices. Because there's going to be powers and principalities and things that war against your mind. Is it going to be different this time? That's a decision that you have to make. Decisions that I have to make. But I love those songs we were singing. He won't fail. He won't fail. He's proven himself from generation to generation to generation. We look at our stuff and the proposition that I have to trust in a God who I can't see with my eyes to deliver me from this. Hey, it's not just you. We're all in this together. Group faith therapy this morning. Whatever your thing is, we're all in this paradigm together. It's the paradigm of the Word of God. Walking by faith and not by sight. It's a fresh invigoration. I'm going to do it. I'm going to choose the Word of God. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting your care on Him. He cares for you. He cares for you. Be sober, vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Swing away. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Just like we were saying, group therapy. We're all going through that same roaring lion who's roaring the same old stuff. You can step up to the plate and make some decisions. Jesus, when he had that counter with the enemy, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He made a spiritual decision when he resisted the enemy. You don't feel too hot after you've fasted for 40 days. There was nothing of his physical strength. He just made a decision. It's true. So this morning, as we're talking about just choosing to fear not, it's really coming down to realizing that it's a choice. There's a spiritual side to that choice, and there's a personal side to that choice. We need to know the spiritual side to it. We need to know that I can call upon the name of the Lord. We need to know that there is a refuge that we can hide under during the middle of the storms. When storms will come, he's going to raise me above the storms, to understand those spiritual promises. But then at the second part of that, there's a personal choice here. I'm blessed by the spiritual side of it. But that personal choice, when you're making the spiritual choice, it may not feel like the way you feel at church on a Sunday morning when you're hearing the word. It may feel different. You may be in the place of turbulence when you're making the personal choice. But the word is still the word. And when you make that personal, this is what I found when I'm under that tree. And I'm not feeling it. I'm feeling disturbed in my spirit. But I'm just going before the throne of grace. I'm just talking stuff through. And I'm just getting a word. And you come out of that. And you come out of that thing with one thing. In fellowship with God. When you're in fellowship with God, when you're getting stuff, and you're hearing from him, and you're speaking your heart, and you got fellowship with God going, safest place in the world. No matter what happens to me, I want one thing to be true. I'm in fellowship with God. My love is set on him. I'm choosing him. He is the secret place. He who abides in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. that we can choose to fear not. Lord, we realize that there's a spiritual side to that choice. There's a personal side to that choice. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I choose this morning to fear not. I understand this is not wishful thinking. I'm born again. I'm a child of God with the Holy Spirit living in my spirit. I have the Word of God. Those are my promises. You wrote them for me. You've given me a bat. I can swing this with the power of your Spirit. Help me, Holy Spirit, to see areas of fear differently. Help me to see through the fear, to swing the bat, to trust the Word of God, to realize I can decide to fear not, regardless of how I feel. I choose you, Jesus. I choose your Word. I choose to fear not. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. Just be stirred up in your heart. You have the ability to choose to fear not. You've got a basis in God's Word to fear not, and God's given you the ability to make that choice. It doesn't have to be glorious. It doesn't have to be splashy. It's just a decision that you make. And man, God makes it real in your heart. And there's just something about, sometimes there's something really exciting about coming to yourself and realize, I haven't been afraid anymore. I'm used to being afraid of that thing, and I'm not afraid anymore. Oh yeah, that's right. I swung the bat, and I'm not afraid anymore. It gives you confidence to swing the bat again at the next ball. Praise God. We'll receive that. Just realize again this morning, He's with you. He loves you. And I love what the psalmist said, how I sought the Lord, He heard me, and He delivered me from all my fears. Praise God. We are not by God's design required to live under the torment of fear. Amen? Praise God.